The countdown is on.
Chest high stab. Here is the give. Cole Feely bounces to the outside. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. Man, PJ, that was a great choice for a song. Kickstart my heart, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, Pensacola, this is Colton Wright. I'm filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 for today. Today's Wednesday. It's hump day, right? Reminds me of that commercial. I can't remember who it was, but it was Mike. What day is it? And they said hump day. It was the, I think it was a...
Okay, I'm going to have to look that one up now.
It was a camel. I can't remember. I think it was an insurance company. But anyway,
okay.
I tried to find it on YouTube last night. So, hey, Andrew asked me to fill in kind of last minute and last week, and it surprised the heck out of me, and I'm honored to be here, but looking forward to it, looking forward to a great day. So today we're going to talk a lot about economic development. We've got a packed day. We've got on the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to have Kelvin Infinger from Green Hut Construction come in. He's also a former chair for ABC Florida. On the 7 o'clock hour, we'll have Mayor D.C. Reeves in to speak with us. We'll get some updates about a couple different things around the city, and I hear there may be some breaking news that we'll be breaking this morning, so that should be exciting. And at 8 o'clock, we'll have Shannon Ogletree, our Economic Development Director, with us. So we've got a packed morning, but I did want to point out a couple things regarding economic development. So there's some exciting stuff I got to do a couple weeks ago. PJ, you ever been to the United Kingdom?
No, I have not. I would love to go, though.
Europe at all?
No. I've been to the Caribbean. That's about it. Caribbean, Mexico, Canada, kind of like our hemisphere.
Right. Right. All North and North, South, North and Central America and the islands?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So I had never been to Europe. Had the opportunity. I was asked to go to Paris a few years ago for the Paris Air Show.
That's cool.
You hear Paris Air Show, what do you think? You think, you know, it's just like an air show here, right? A bunch of planes flying around, some Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds, that kind of thing. No, it's nothing like that. Other than the fact they do have airplanes, and there are some airplanes that fly on the weekend separate from the trade show portion.
Mm.
So there's the world's largest aerospace trade show happens every year, but it rotates one year to the next. So one year it's in Paris. It's actually not in Paris. It's a place called Le Bourget. So it's about almost a two-hour ride outside of Paris, even though you have to stay in Paris at the hotels. Quite a ride every morning and every afternoon going back and forth, and long days working at the trade show. And then the next year, it alternates to London, which is actually out in Farnborough. Same kind of situation, quite a ways outside the city, a good hour and a half of driving plus, and that's with not a lot of bad traffic. But that trade show is every manufacturer you can think of that has anything to do with aerospace. Everything from the seatbelts on a commercial aircraft to the windows to the paint to the tires, the wheels, including missiles, satellites, anything having to do with space or aerospace. If they make a widget, there's a company there on display showing their wares, right? But you also have not every nation, not every state in the United States. But a number of different countries will actually have booths. And they'll also have people that walking around from those countries that are looking to buy product. Mm-hmm. So they'll be placing orders for whether it be, you may have someone coming in from, you name an airline, and they may be looking at all the different manufacturers and talking about placing orders for, you know, I want to buy 30 Airbus A200s next year. Or actually, they're going to put them on order because it may take 3, 4, 5 years for them to actually fulfill that order.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also have certain countries and certain states that will set up a booth. And when we talk about a booth or a pavilion, we're not talking about a 10 by 10 pop-up tent, right? We're talking about sometimes these pavilions, and some of this is indoors and some of it's outdoors, but the indoors, and even in these pavilions, if you've ever been to a large trade show of any type of organization, these booths sometimes may cost $200,000-$300,000 just to build and construct. They're so well constructed. And if possible, maybe at some point I'll try to share some photos that maybe we could post up on the page or on the Facebook page or something. But the state of Florida has an organization called Select Florida. So this started many, many years ago as I forget the original name. I think it was Enterprise Florida was the name originally that was set up. And it was a private-public partnership that the state of Florida had specifically for economic development and to drive large companies to come to Florida versus our neighboring states, mm-hmm. right? If you drive up I-65 and go up into South Carolina, you know, as you drive through Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, you see a lot of auto manufacturers have started to come in there.
Mm-hmm.
Kia, BMW, those are the Corvette manufacturing facility up in Bowling Green. So Florida decided at some point we need to have more than just Mickey Mouse and beaches, right? So we started doing things like trying to find ways to attract companies. And of course, you know, with the advent of NASA and Cape Canaveral, obviously aerospace was a big thing in that area. And the East Coast, it continued to grow. In Orlando, a lot of people don't realize how much aerospace happens in the Orlando market with Martin Marietta and other companies. But the Select Florida effort was, how do we continue to drive business to Florida? And they've done this for years at that trade show. So recently, just back in about June, I got an email from Department of Commerce Secretary Kelly. You know, he's in the governor's staff and he's, you know, Secretary of Commerce. We've worked on him closely on a number of projects here in the region. Pensacola's worked with him, Santa Rosa County, primarily if you think of a big win that we had with the Leonardo facility out at Aviation, you know, Whiting Aviation mm-hmm. Park, right? So Secretary Kelly reached out, said, hey, Santa Rosa County's got a lot of big wins. Shannon Ogletree is an absolute rock star. You guys are doing great jobs with regard to economic development in your community and across the whole panhandle. Colton, I'd really like you to come. I want to let you know you're invited to come on this trip to what they call the UK mission trip to Florida or to UK for Select Florida. So I looked at it and I said, okay, well, it's a trip to England and the UK. It was fairly last minute. But what a huge opportunity. When someone in the governor's cabinet asks you to attend, great.
Yes, sir.
right. But having been to the trip on Paris and saying it sounded like this wonderful, lavish trip, and it is nothing like that because you work your tail off wearing a suit and tie inside, outside, hot. Europe's hot in the summer, by the way. It's really hot. And you're constantly on. You know, you're meeting companies, you're constantly talking to people, you've got appointments, you've got a pretty hard agenda set a lot of times. And you're constantly on. You're trying to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward with regards to talking to these companies and try to sell your community or your region. So I was the only person other than Shannon Ogletree, specifically from Pensacola, Santa Rosa County area.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some folks from Florida's Great Northwest, which is the 13-county economic development group that kind of stationed out of the Panama City area, Jennifer Conley and her team. But for the most part, the trip was full of people that were primarily Central South Florida. We had FDOT Secretary Jared Perdue on the trip. Governor DeSantis was on the trip. Secretary Kelly was on the trip. And then we had a number of college presidents, but primarily UCF, Central Florida, FIU down in the Miami area, which the current president is former Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez.
Mm.
But we didn't have a ton of representation from the Northwest Florida area. So that's one, I was thrilled to be able to go. And then I realized when I started looking at the list of attendees, the governor and I were the only electeds, which was really awkward. And I'm sitting here, I'm just a lowly county commissioner. I'm a little out of my league and out of my element here. But it's much like this radio show, fake it till you make it, right?
That's right.
So we take this trip, and in the planning, I get some information that says, hey, look, there's going to be two different tracks. There's one track where everyone's going to be at the air show doing their normal stuff. And there's another track where the leadership team's going to be there at the air show Monday. Governor's going to do a big press conference. We're going to cut the ribbon on the Select Florida booth, which was huge, by the way. And we had four air-conditioned offices as meeting rooms in this facility, in addition to a break room area and an area for people to come and just kind of see, you know, what Pensacola has to offer. We had a slideshow going, lots of graphics, you know, graphics up there about Santa Rosa County, and then highlighting, you know, the Whiting Aviation Park and the great things we have here and our military presence that we have in Northwest Florida and how that drives our economy and how that offers a fantastic workforce, right? The veterans, you know, I don't know if people realize how many veterans separate from the military every year, but of those that separate in our region, more than half of them choose to stay in this area. So they separate from the military, but they're going to stay in Northwest Florida, particularly Pensacola, you know, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Navarre, Fort Walton Beach, the general area. Well, that's a really well-respected, responsible, and trained workforce that's ready to go to work for somebody else. So oftentimes when we talk to prospect companies about trying to find labor in a market, and one of the reasons why they should move to our area versus some competing state or maybe somewhere else around Florida, we tell them, hey, this is a great place because we've got a trained workforce ready to go. So we're over there, and this leadership track, we break away after that Monday at the air show, and we're going to go meet with the Lady Mayor of Munden, and we're going to have an insurance roundtable. We've got the insurance commissioner that comes from Florida. I'm not an insurance guy. Actuarial tables and all that stuff, it's way over my head. But I thought, okay, well, insurance is a problem for Florida, mm-hmm. right? Homeowners insurance, auto insurance even. But obviously, we are all feeling the pinch on homeowners insurance. PJ, did you know that the birthplace of insurance is London?
I did not.
We've all heard Lloyd's of London, right?
Yes.
I mean, you've heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Well, that's apparently, I'm going, why are we talking insurance in London? Well, yeah, hit me upside the head.
Mm-hmm.
London's the birthplace of insurance. So the Lady Mayor of London, you think that's the Mayor of London. Turns out it's 1 square mile of ancient London, like the oldest part. There's a mayor of the rest of London, but the Lady Mayor is a one-year deal, and businesses can vote, not just people, for the mayor of London of that 1 square mile. But turns out they're basically the finance and insurance mayor. They're the insurance and financial tech guru, so to speak, for 1 year representing the UK. So we go into the Lady Mayor of London's mansion, the state owned. You go in there, we sit down, the governor comes in, sits down with her and the insurance commissioner, and they do a fireside chat about the relationship between the UK and Florida and how strong that relationship is. And then we talk about insurance, we talk about finance, and then we move on to a roundtable. We have some of the greatest minds in insurance sitting at this table, and I removed myself from the front of the table, set to the side. And these guys just talk nothing but insurance and what can be done in the state of Florida, and trying to explain to them that while they're in London and what they see on the news and what they hear isn't what really happens when we have a hurricane or when natural things happen in the state of Florida. Just a phenomenal opportunity to sit at that table. And we had some really productive conversations, and I ended up hearing a guy talk, and I walked up to him afterwards and introduced myself. Got back from the UK, and we actually had a follow-up Teams call talking about insurance and some software that he does and things that would be helpful to Santa Rosa County and the region and our emergency operations across the panhandle. So just some phenomenal stuff that we did while we were over in the UK. We'll talk more about it in another segment about some of the more exciting aerospace and technical training that we talked about while we were there. But just one of those things, I never expected to go to the UK on a trip like that, never expected to be asked. A lot of people were wondering where I was for two board meetings, and that's where I was. I was out of country, but I was certainly doing work for the Santa Rosa County and the entire region, have an opportunity to help just be a spokesperson and draw people to the area.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Heartburn. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing is worse than heartburn after a long day. When you're finally off the clock, dinner's done, feet kicked up, kids asleep, and boom, heartburn tries to steal the moment. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing works faster for heartburn relief. The effervescent tablets start neutralizing acid in seconds, so you can sit back, relax, and unwind from your day. Next time heartburn hits,
quick, Alka-Seltzer.
Use as directed.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Are you wondering why the voice is a little different? That's because I am not Andrew. I'm also not Walker Wilson. I'm Colton Wright. I'm filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Thanks for being with us this morning. Just had a text hop in here asking, does someone know if Santa Rosa County's early voting places are open? Yes, they are open. Depending on where you're at, there may be one that's more convenient for you. I can tell you that the main admin building in Milton on Highway 90, Supervisor of Elections office is open there. South Service Center, if you're in the Gulf Breeze Midway area there, close to the zoo, that's open. And there's a couple others. You could go to the Supervisor of Elections website and check it out and find it there.
Fox Fox News. I'm CJ Pop. An establishment Democrat defeats his far-left Democratic Socialist challenger in the Wisconsin primary for governor.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley beat Francesca Hong by less than a percentage point. Establishment Democrats are certainly celebrating this win. They were afraid that a Hong victory would essentially hand the GOP the keys to the governor's mansion in November.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Crowley takes on the Republican Tom Tiffany. And the race for U.S. Senator in Minnesota.
Progressive Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan defeats Angie Craig in Minnesota's Senate primary. Former NFL sideline reporter Michelle Tafoya, who was backed by President Trump, easily won Minnesota's Republican primary and will take on Flanagan in November.
Fox's Chris DeMeo. Interim South Carolina Senator Darlene Graham reaches a runoff against Congressman Ralph Norman for her late brother's Senate seat. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 79 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We're going to get a look at our forecast in just a couple of minutes. Governor Ron DeSantis has announced nearly $188 million to strengthen rural health care across the state, with the Northwest region receiving the largest share of that at $81 million across 35 different awards locally. Escambia County Community Clinics receiving multiple grants totaling well over $10 million combined, supporting preventative care, workforce development, and specialty services. Northwest Florida Community Hospital and North Walton Doctors Hospital also receiving some significant funding as a result of this. State officials say the awards are part of a five-year, billion-dollar effort to expand access and stabilize rural health care systems. Well, school is starting today in Escambia County. Of course, Santa Rosa County started on Monday. And law enforcement reminding drivers of the school bus stop law. Officials say the rule applies in more situations than a lot of drivers actually realize. All traffic in all directions has to stop when a school bus extends its stop arm and red lights are flashing. That includes drivers going in the opposite direction and even on a divided highway with a paved median. The only exception is when the opposing lanes are separated by an unpaved or grass median that is at least 5 feet wide. And officials say if you see a bus with lights on and a stop arm extended, you are required by law to stop. And even if you are separated by one of those large unpaved medians, they say you should still slow down in case a child happens to be running late for the bus or something along those lines and runs into the roadway. A Pensacola event company pushing back on a settlement offer from the Navy after losing its concessions contract for last year's Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show. President Mike Windhorst says he's owed more than $100,000. That's after the show was canceled last year due to the government shutdown. He said the Navy's final offer was $66,000 with conditions he's calling unusual, including a non-disparagement clause. Contract attorney Dennis Green, who's not affiliated with the case, said that is rare in government settlements. The Navy said it can't comment as discussions with Windhorst are ongoing. Now, Escambia Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender says early voting turnout so far has been encouraging. He says vote by mail numbers, though, were running a little bit below where they were at this point in 2024. He's urging voters not to wait.
In 2024, we had 75% of the registered voters not vote. Just under 25% of our registered voters voted. So we're trying to get that number up. We're historically close to 30%. But I will say right now, our vote by mail numbers are down. We're about 1,200 below where we were at this point in 2024, but we are up about 600 votes in early vote, so about a net loss of 600. So really encouraging people to get out and vote for the August 18th election.
And Bender does say that all vote-by-mail ballots have to be in his possession by 7 p.m. on election night in order to be counted. Early voting runs through Saturday. There are 10 locations in Escambia County. You can get that full list at EscambiaVotes.gov. 5:35 at News Radio, and let's get a check on our forecast from Channel 3, Brooke Richardson.
We are going- going to be seeing mostly sunny skies today with a 20% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, 20% chance of rain, high near 93. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Keeping your nice hot weather around 94 degrees for your high on Friday with a 20% chance of rain. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Paul Murray with your money now. CoreWeave shares jumped 14% after the AI infrastructure provider reported results that topped Wall Street expectations. Revenue climbed 112% during the quarter from a year earlier. Net loss of $626 million increased from $290 million, or 60 cents per share, from a year ago. OpenAI's Brad Lightcap said on X that he's leaving the company after 8 years. Lightcap had served as operating chief until April, when he was given a new role focused on, quote, special projects. The company said at the time that Denise Dresser, the chief revenue officer, would take over most of Lightcap's responsibilities. Taiwan's Foxconn, the world's largest contract electronics maker, has reported a 35% rise in second quarter profit, beating analyst forecasts on continued strong demand for AI. Net profit for the April to June period for NVIDIA's biggest server maker was nearly $1.9 billion, which did beat analyst estimates. Futures are slightly higher this morning. That's your money now.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We have in here in studio, like we do every Tuesday, Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, how's it going?
Going good. How you doing?
Doing good for a Tuesday. well, what's been going on over at the Sheriff's Office in Escambia County over the last week?
Actually, we had quite a bit. School's about to start, so we first kind of want to make sure I mention that. So everyone that's driving their cars, in a day or so, was it starting tomorrow, I think, or maybe next day?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah.
So but tomorrow at this time, you're going to have kids running around. They're going to be excited. They're not going to know where their bus stop is. So we're just asking everyone to please be cognizant of that. Along those lines, we graduated a number, I think 7 or 8 guardians, myself and Superintendent Keith Leonard, did a little ceremony with their graduation from the guardian training program, and they will be assigned to various schools within Escambia County. Other than that, we had made an arrest, and we had a homicide a couple of days ago at the Quality Inn. I don't know if you recall, but there was an individual found with a single gunshot wound in a hallway of the Quality Inn on Pensacola Boulevard. Wire detectives have been on it. They pieced together some video footage, and they ultimately found out who the killer was. In fact, we saw him enter the video. Actually, we saw a video where he entered the hallway of the Quality Inn about 2 minutes. He was in there about 2 minutes, and he walked out with, it looked like, in one hand a gun, and in the other hand he had, or we think it was a gun, and on the other hand was a gold chain wrapped around his hand. Well, the victim had his shirt torn, and it looked like he had a chain snatched from around his neck. In fact, his uncle had said, "Hey, I gave him a chain. He always wore it." And obviously, he didn't have that chain then. So we were able to make that arrest with that individual on a homicide. So we've been kind of busy. And, the one thing I want to tell you is you recall the emergency landing on Interstate, right? Yeah. Everyone's making a big deal about it, and we did too.
Did you ticket her?
We did not ticket her. In fact, I gave her what we call a sheriff's award because of her calm demeanor, because she could have panicked. Right. She did not. She could have crashed her airplane and obviously risked her life and her student's life. But also, we have to take note of the fact that there were a lot of cars on the interstate, mm-hmm. and she didn't hit any of those cars. She was able to land it. She went underneath the gantry.
Yeah, that was wild.
Which is pretty cool. So we were able to give her I gave her a sheriff's medal in recognition of that.
Very good. Yeah. I heard popped up finally on my social media, her talking with air traffic control and just how calm she was absolutely insane. And just to think a 21-year-old in that situation who, teaching someone on their first flight, is crazy for that to happen.
So. Yeah, she's like, we have emergency here. And then it's okay, we're going to clear you like a runway type thing. And she's, nope, not going to make it. I'm going to go on the interstate. Right. Yeah. And she did. So she did a really good job. A couple days ago, we got a call, Senator Ashley Moody on Purple Heart Day. Mm-hmm. It was a day that we remember those who were injured in service of our country and were awarded the Purple Heart. So on the 7th, we were able to – originally, we were supposed to be joined by the senator, and it was her event. And we said, yeah, well, you could host it here, and we'll be glad to honor our service members. But she was recalled, or she was stuck in Washington, D.C. So she, she was video screened in, and then we were able to go ahead and do this. So we ended up honoring, 4 individuals for their sacrifice. And it was really a great opportunity for all of us to say thank you to those who have paid that deeper price. So it was a good day.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so important to honor those that have, made such a sacrifice for all of us, really. And so that's good that y'all are able to be a part of that and still have the senator be a participant, even though she couldn't be here.
Right. So. Yeah, it was a pretty good deal. We did have a homicide or a shooting death on Harve Way. Again, 3 days ago, we had that. And we're still piecing it together, but we're also investigating as if it's a potentially a stand your ground or a self-defense type of a thing. So we have not made an arrest. We do know everyone was involved. We obviously know the victim, and we know the suspect as well, or the individual that actually fired the weapon. And we're going through that. We're working with the state attorney's office on that. And at this point, it's unclear whether we will be making an arrest on that particular case or not.
All right. As we get ready for going back to school tomorrow, what parents should be on the lookout for, what non-parents who are just driving to work on a normal day should be on the lookout for as well, that it's going to be a big change with kids waiting on the bus and all that good stuff.
Well, I do want to go over briefly about the school, the rules on school buses and, mm-hmm. and when their stop arm is out. But first, I want to tell you, I did a video basically just saying how thankful I am for the men and women that are still willing to do the work of a law enforcement officer. We had assisted Okaloosa County on Saturday morning with a warrant service, and we had a machine we call the Rook. It's a tactical machine. It's basically a Caterpillar skid steer type machine, but it's ballistic in nature and has a ballistic window on it. That doesn't mean we want to get shot at. But however, an individual came out with, not sure about the gun, but it was a long rifle, and fired over 30 times, striking our Rook over 30 times. One, if you look at the video, was like right in the middle, like basically in the middle of the windshield. Mm. One took out the camera on it, but you can see where there's indentions throughout the Rook. And I'm just so glad that Jeremy Jarman was the deputy that was inside there. He volunteered to go help Okaloosa County, and obviously we gave him the permission to do so. And again, no deputies were injured. So I just want people to. Again, just realize the work that the men and women of the sheriff's office do, and specifically, even though there was a ballistic machine itself, it doesn't mean it's any fun sitting in that car being struck, or in that machine being struck over 30 times, not knowing if that second round is going to go right, but obviously ultimately compromise the window. So, anyways, that's all. I wanted to kind of make sure that people understood what we. How proud I am of the men and women of the sheriff's office. Mm. And as I was mentioned, school is starting, as we talked about. And I actually had a conversation with our school resource officers. And I want to make sure, and I've done this before, but I want to make sure they understood our philosophy with regards to a potential officer, an active shooter type situation at a school. And I told them that my expectation is that you will do what you can to go to the threat. We don't wait. We don't do what some of the deputies did or officers did down in Parkland or Uvalde. We don't wait for anything. We do what we can to get to the threat. We're not hunkering in place. We're not waiting for backup. We're going to the threat, even if we have to drive our car through the door to get to get inside. We're gonna stop someone from injuring our children. So I want to make sure I reiterated that stance to our school resource officers and obviously to the deputies who be out on the street that may well respond as well. In fact, I got a call from the sheriff over in, I think it was Bay County. They had two swatting incidents, and as your listeners may not be aware, swatting is where you pretend like there's a SWAT-type situation. You pretend like there's a hostage situation. You pretend like there's an active shooter, and you call in and tell our dispatcher that that's the situation. And the hope there, as terrible as it is that there will be panic, and that mm-hmm. and then within the school or the location, and that it would elicit a SWAT response from law enforcement, and so we let our people know that, and hopefully no one does something stupid like that. But it did happen twice because Bay County, I guess, started their school yesterday.
Yeah.
So it is something that we deal with, not just when school starts, but it's something we deal with on occasion.
Yeah, and it's scary that's like kind of where those threats have gone to now. And I can remember it really felt like it started when I was at Ferry Pass Middle School and on into high school at Washington, but it was always bomb threats was the constant thing that we were battling, and they'd shut school down, check everything, but it's certainly upgraded or, evolved over the years since then. And, but it's, I know y'all are on top of it and constantly monitoring social media and all that stuff for,
exactly. Yeah, and we will certainly charge you if we can determine who did it. Sometimes they spoof the numbers and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but we work with our federal partners, and sometimes we can catch them. But I do want to mention the school buses, because a lot of the questions throughout the year about when do I have to stop on a school bus. Well, the bottom line is, if you see that stop sign right. and it's pulled out there, if you see kids around, you need to stop. So all drivers in all directions, whether you're behind the bus or if you're coming from the opposite direction of the bus, you have got to stop. Even on a highway that's divided by a paved median, you must still stop. The only time you don't have to stop, just to be clear, is whenever it's a raised barrier or it's unpaved of at least 5 feet wide. So like going on, I guess it would be. 29, mm-hmm. or 29, they have like an unpaved or a grass median. you don't have to stop in that situation. But, you know, if you see a bus with its lights on and a stop sign, you certainly should slow down just in case there's a child that's late for the bus. But by law, you have to stop if it's paved. You have to, but you do not have to necessarily stop opposing traffic, disallowing opposing traffic.
Right.
You do not have to stop if it is unpaved or if it's like a grass median that's over 5 feet wide.
That's like the random question I remember from my driver's license test. That fact right there. I don't know why, but so imagine Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay, News Radio 92.3. We got Sheriff Chip Simmons in the studio. We do it every Tuesday on the show. And thanks for all that y'all do to keep everybody in this county safe, and all the hard work, and, you know, truly the sacrifice that all the men and women make at the sheriff's office, to, you know, going to work every single day and never know what they're going to be facing that day while they're out there on the streets trying to keep us safe.
I appreciate it. I tell people all the time, we've never been more capable as a law enforcement agency than we are today. Technology, manpower, and obviously the support of the other community. So we really appreciate it, and I'm very proud to be the sheriff.
Do you guys still have I did the city police class, and I did it with you and Tommy and Andy, and I know we do that with the county as well. Did you guys just have one, or do you have one coming up?
We started it last Thursday, and we'll have our second session on this coming up Thursday.
Oh, wonderful. And that's something you can visit the website on and find out when the next one is.
Yeah, they fill up pretty quickly. This is already filled up, and we already started this one, but yes.
Yeah, our boss Kevin's in it. Yeah. You should arrest him. You know how you tase people? And you're like, hey,
we
tase happens.
Bad guys.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just kidding. He listens. And thank you for doing that.
And real quick, too, I know you started the Sheriff's Foundation. I didn't know if there was anything going on with the foundation or how people can find out more about the foundation and how they could support it if they wanted to.
Right. The Sheriff Foundation is a nonprofit. It's separate from the sheriff's office, but it's designed to assist the sheriff's office in our engagement and also with employee assistance where their employees that might be suffering a hardship, they can provide monetary assistance to them. So, yes, they have their own website, Escambia County Sheriff Foundation. Take a look at that. And they kind of help us actually they fund the Blazer Academy. They fund the movie night. They fund our Dream Big program. They fund a lot of different things so that we don't use taxpayer dollars. We don't use general fund dollars for that. Right now, because school's about to start and because we're doing our Citizens Law Enforcement Academy that we were just talking about, that we're kind of concentrating on that because they're very much a part of that as well.
Very good. Very good. Well, Sheriff, thanks so much for coming in, and I hope you have a good rest of the week. And, again, thanks for all of the men and women over at the Sheriff's Office do here in Escambia County.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right, that was a replay from yesterday of Chip Simmons, Sheriff Chip Simmons, with Walker Wilson and Candy yesterday. I'm Colton Wright, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, and we'll be back right after the break.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
I don't know about you, but for me, every time I've ever had to buy a car, it's basically been an unpleasant experience. Except one. That one was when I bought from Frontier Motors. And I'll tell you why. Because we went there just trying to test drive a car. We weren't going to buy it. We knew what we needed. Well, we wanted to test drive it to make sure it's what we wanted. When we actually had to replace our Dodge Caravan, maybe about 6 months later, well, they had the Honda Odyssey. It was really hard to find at this particular time to drive one. They had the color we wanted. They had the trim level we wanted. We wound up negotiating a little bit on the price, and we bought it. When we weren't really looking. Why? Because they had the exact thing we wanted. It was a great car with like 13,000 miles, and it was a year old, came back from a lease in Orlando. They bought it at auction, and it was just easy. I didn't have to tell anybody my life story. I didn't have to get passed around from this person to that person. All the normal nonsense that you go through in buying cars, didn't have to deal with that. Great quality used cars for excellent prices, and they follow up with you after because they want to make sure you're happy. Like, they treat you like you want to be treated, whereas I know a lot of times when you deal with cars, it's icky, right? Well, don't do that. Go to Frontier, check out the great selection, about 300 good quality cars and trucks on the lot at any given time, and find out why it's different. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The countdown is on.
Chest high stab. Here is the give. Cole Feely bounces to the outside. 25-20, 15-10, 5-4-3-2-1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hi, this is Jeff Colhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, welcome back. I'm Colton Wright, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. I want to thank Walker Wilson for filling in for Andrew yesterday, and Sheriff Chip Simmons giving some great information there. Just a reminder, today is the first day of school for Escambia County. For those of us over in Santa Rosa County, our kids have already been back in school since Monday. So just keep an eye out for those school buses out there. Just pack your patience a little bit. You're going to take a little bit longer to get to work. You know, everyone just kind of getting back in the swing of things. So we were talking earlier, we're talking today about economic development, and I was talking a little bit with PJ there about the trip we took to the UK for the Select Florida group. We did London and Scotland while we were over there. And one thing I just did not understand is how strong the relationship between the United Kingdom and Florida is. I just assumed that most everyone around the world saw the U.S. as a strong economy. But, you know, the state of Florida is the 14th largest economy in the world. It's pretty strong. I can't remember if we're third or fourth largest state right now by population, but the UK treats Florida almost as if it's a sovereign nation. They say it's so strong. They've seen our governor at work. They've seen the low tax rate, the general environment of being pro-business. And the UK, this is the other thing I didn't know, how strong in aerospace and robotics they are. Scotland particularly, you wouldn't think Scotland as being a place that's going to be a mecca for satellite manufacturing, but it is. So they have to have a strong relationship with Florida because they have to be able to have to launch those satellites, right? So Cape Canaveral and the Space Coast. So I think that was one of the great things that we learned while we were over there, and we were able to build some strong relationships and show people that there's more to Florida. As we said before, there's more than Mickey Mouse and beaches. So the panhandle of Florida, when we start looking at the open space we have, the industrial parks, the proximity to good transportation, we've got good rail that runs east and west. We've got I-10 that runs east and west. And we've got space for economic development in industrial parks. And like we said, with our military and all those veterans we have here and a trained workforce, we have the ability to take these companies that want to move to the United States and they can come to Florida, and hopefully they come to Northwest Florida. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Colton Wright with News Radio 92.3.